In the past 25 years, a new art form has emerged that challenges the traditional notion of how we create music. The manipulation of a musical instrument is no longer the only way to do this. Armed with just a microphone and an amplifier, the human beatboxer is ready to perform. But what is human beatboxing?
Human beatboxing is the art of vocal percussion, and that means making drum and bass and sound effects all with the human mouth.
It's making beats, rhythm, expressing yourself using nothing other than your mouth and vocal cords.
Human beatboxing is a little bit like this. From the mouth.
So what are the origins of human beatboxing? And who were the pioneers of this art form?
Well, beatboxing was originally two words, and we've amalgamated it into one word. Beatbox was beat, space, box, and literally means a box that makes beats, so that's another name for a drum machine. And then, of course, we stuck the word human on the front for human beatbox, human drum machine.
Human beatboxing, as it's called, human beatboxing, you know, definitely originates Buffy, Dougie Fresh, people in New York with the birth of hip-hop.
Buffy was good. And he was kind of pioneer. Dougie Fresh took it to another level with all these click rolls, and he started doing much more clever stuff with it.
Although beatboxing has been around since the early 1980s, it has only really come to prominence in the last 7 years. It was popular up until the late 80s, but it seemed to disappear for much of the 90s.
It's almost like beatboxing died. I think everybody just forgot about it. And I think we've just got to give so much credit to people like Razel, Kenny Mohammed, Killer Keller, people that were doing it, upcoming beatboxers, that were actually kind of, I think it's needed some fresh faces on the scene, some people to really start doing it. I mean, of course, in the 90s, you had people like Michael Winslow from the Police Academy films, you had Bobby McFerrin, you had other people like Michael Jackson doing beatboxing. And so it was still alive, but it wasn't actually, there was no scene.
Gavin Tight is a 34-year-old vicar and a beatboxer.
I've been beatboxing for a very long time. I started making drum sounds when I was about 8 years old, and my dad bought one of these reel-to-reel tape machines, probably in about 1979, something like that, maybe earlier than that even. And I've got a reel-to-reel tape, a recording of me beatboxing when I was about 8, although I didn't know it was called beatboxing then. And I made sounds like this. I did a kick drum like this, and I made a snare drum like this. So I've got a recording of me going like that. Yeah, so in about 1982, I heard Dougie Fresh, Biz Markie, the Fat Boys on records, and I just thought, wow, these guys are doing beatboxing, this is what it's called, I can do that. So then I started copying their techniques, and well, it all went from there.
Tight has been beatboxing for over 25 years, so why does he continue to do it?
I'm addicted to beatboxing. I continue to beatbox because I'm addicted. It's as simple as that. I can't stop. And it's great fun because I teach kids beatboxing, and then a few months later they kind of come up to me and they sidle up to me and they whisper to me, Gav, yeah, I can't seem to stop now. I just keep beatboxing wherever I go. And I'm like, yeah, join the club, welcome, you know, you have finally made it. I love beatboxing. I love it. And I love the fact that I've been beatboxing all this time and I think I've heard it all. And then at the UK Championships, for instance, in last year in 2005, Beardy Man gets up on stage and he starts doing stuff I've never heard. And I'm like, that is so cool. That is just amazing. I mean, he was doing like 40s records.
Take good care of yourself. You'll be loved.
Wow, that's just incredible, isn't it? And so I just never get bored of hearing it. I keep being amazed by beatboxers.
With so many beatboxers on the scene now, what makes Tight different from the rest?
I've got my own unique style. I've got my own unique sounds. I think probably the things that have always defined me are probably my 808 snare drum, the snare. I think the things that define me as well are the echoes, doing the human delay. You know, what, wad, wad, two, two, mic, nate, nate, tight. Doing that stuff. Yeah, I suppose they're my unique things. And of course, this kind of Scooby Scrappy do routines, the Daleks, the comedy aspect of it, I think, throwing all that stuff in.
Exterminate! Exterminate! You will be destroyed! Destroyed!
Let me out, Uncle Scooby, please!
No! It's Daleks! Run! Run!
I like Scoob! Let's run!
I think that's what's always made me unique, yeah.
Wandan is a 27-year-old sound engineer. He has been beatboxing for
4 days, non-stop. I've been beatboxing, I've been doing shows for coming up to 3 years now. Probably beatboxing, I'm calling it beatboxing for about four. But yeah, I've always been a bit of a, just a noise maker, you know, just making sounds with your mouth, just playing about with, you know, different things. Yeah, I remember seeing Keller 1999. I just couldn't believe that that was physically, humanly possible, that somebody could create rhythm, sound, sample, scratch with their mouth and a mic. And it's just like, you know, damn, that is the coolest thing I have ever seen in my life. And I just, you know, I had to learn how to do it. There was no question.
Wandan's style of beatboxing is unique and utilises a method often referred to as nasal oscillation.
It was nasal, I heard it called ovular oscillation, and also Tibetan throat singing. But it's basically, yeah, you kind of use your throat. You start a note, like right down in the back of your throat, and then use, I think this part of your throat's called the ovula. It's kind of the circle bit right at the top of your throat. And you can control how tight or how loose that is. And you can, yeah, you can make some mad effects with it, like, you know. And obviously using my tongue in there, your tongue and your mouth to kind of shape it, the bass, as it more comes out. And then, yeah, just working with that and putting a beat over the top of it. Pretty much what a lot of my stuff is based around.
Shlomo is a 23-year-old full-time beatboxer from Leeds.
I have been beatboxing since, well, I kind of took it seriously probably about 4 years ago. Well, my earliest memory of kind of showing it off was when I was probably about 11 or something. I was on a summer camp and I had a little showcase where I just did this, like, really basic, like, random beat. So, I don't know, probably about 10 years ago, I guess, when I first realised that it was something you could perform to other people. I think Keller was the one who really pushed me, because, like, I don't know, the first time I ever saw him, he was playing, it was his album launch party, and he called me up on the stage because he'd heard me beatboxing in the corridor, and, like, that was the first time I'd ever used a mic, and it was just, like, you know, that gave me some hunger right there. So in terms of, like, inspiring me, that was probably one of the most inspiring events in my life.
Do you want to hear some human beatbox?
I've gone from the geeky skinny kid with glasses to, like, the coolest guy at the party, so, you know, if it can do that, it can do anything.
Beatboxing is an art form that originated on the streets of New York, mainly to accompany rapping. Judging by the experiences of today's performers, it has spread to many new areas and can exist with many different styles of music.
I've performed at Glastonbury with Foreign Beggars. I've performed on Jules Holland with Salif Keita in Texas.
We welcome, making his television debut, Shlomo!
The biggest crowd I performed to was at Hip Hop Kemp, which is a festival in Czech Republic, and I played to, like, 15,000 people, I think it was. That was quite an experience.
I've performed with all sorts of people. Oh, gosh. And styles of music. I mean, I've performed with, you know, kind of African musicians, rock musicians, of course, hip hop and drum and bass, DJs, MCs, poets. I've done it with acoustic sets. I've done it with some classical instruments, strings, but I've not really done it with whole orchestra yet. So, yeah, I've beatboxed with a whole variety of different people and different styles of music.
In late 2001, Alex Chu, aka A+, launched a website called beatboxing.co.uk. The site was later relaunched as humanbeatbox.com and as a result gained much popularity from beatbox enthusiasts across the world. Tite worked closely with Alex to help nurture the site, and he now owns humanbeatbox.com. It is now very much a community project.
Yeah, the community. When I bought the site from A+, we had the forums and we had static pages, and a lot of people were visiting the static pages, but they weren't being part of the community. And I'm not really interested in static content on the website. I mean, anybody can do static. Who wants, you know, anybody can set up a repository of audio files and be very popular. And loads of people, you know, download their audio files off their website. Well, whoopee-doo, anybody can do that. No, I was interested in the community side of it. So I moved all the static content onto the forums, which upset a few people. But actually, since then, the site's grown even bigger. And we've had a lot more contribution from the community. Writing reviews, articles, audio files. Yeah, so it's worked really well. But yeah, you're quite right. The number one thing, the number one aim, well, not the aim, but the number one thing for me is the community. I suppose my aim is to serve that community. And I do that with all my heart and with all my passion and with all my skill.
Wandan contributes graphics to the website.
In the early days, it was properly like an absolute hub for everything that was going on in the beatboxing scene, you know. It was like everything would be arranged via that website. And it's cool, it's just, you know, the way it's grown and where Tite's taken it now is dope. It's really, really become, kicked off the global beatboxing scene. I mean, 5 years ago, before that, there was pretty much nothing about beatboxing anywhere, you know. I mean, it really was a really underground art form. It's just certainly made it a lot more accessible to people all over the world, which is only a good thing, because it really has taken huge leaps and bounds in the last few years. You know, we've got all these ridiculously talented beatboxers cropping up all over, who've all got their own idea, their own style, taking it different places. And, you know, humanbeatbox.com is a great way of everyone being able to show each other what they're doing and where it's going.
Shlomo is the events coordinator for humanbeatbox.com. One of his projects is the UK Beatbox Championships.
The idea came out about 3 years ago when I said to a guy who I promote nights with in Leeds, should we do a beatbox tournament? And he was like, yeah, of course. So we just booked a club, the basement, quite a small club, told a few beatboxers about it and made some flyers. The place was totally packed. It was an amazing night, and just kind of went from there and like just kind of got pieced together. That year we kind of pieced it together as we went along, and this year it's been a bit more formal with like proper regional heats and stuff, so it's really still a baby, but I've been working my ass off on it and I'm sure it's going to be a really big thing.
As well as organising the event, Shlomo, along with other contributors to the website, judges the talent on show. So what do they look for in the contestants?
Originality is really important because you get a lot of recycling of material, but it's just to be an entertainer, like, you know, a lot of people can come on and they can do a million snares per second, but it's not a show, you know. You want to see something that grabs the crowd attention and keeps them happy, and like, you know. So I'm looking for originality, I'm looking for like, yeah, what your stage presence is like.
The biggest thing with these battles is judged on crowd reaction. So obviously, yeah, that is the main thing. But crowds are getting pretty wise now, and you know, they won't react to things that they've heard many times before.
Another of Shlomo's projects is AllFromTheMouth.com.
AllFromTheMouth.com is was the world's first beatboxing agency. It's the only UK specialist artist agency for beatboxers, and there was more gigs than could be done, so it made sense to pass them over to all these other beatboxers and like get them the shows, deal with it all, and just generally push the scene a bit further.
Along with top names like Razel, Killer Keller, Shlomo and Tite, Wandan is one of the artists on the All From The Mouth roster. Apart from receiving more bookings, what are the benefits of being part of the agency?
He has a contract that people have to sign so that the artist gets, you know, water, any rider, place to chill, that you're not gonna, you know, that you're gonna have a sound system to get when you get there, a sound system you can plug into. I mean, the amount of shows I've done where you roll up and the promoter, the organiser hasn't got a clue what you need, you know. You're like, right, they're like, okay, so when are you going to start? It's like, well, can I plug my mic in? They're like, all right, oh, okay. And, you know, that's the good thing about the agency, is that all, you know, that means the people book through the agency, they agree to the contract, so when you get to the show, you know that everything's taken care of and that all you've got to do is get in the zone and go and tear it.
The opportunities for beatboxers have grown immensely in the past few years. Young aspiring beatboxers now have a platform where they can gain recognition in the UK Beatbox Championships. And, there is always the possibility of joining the roster at allfromthemouth.com. But can anyone learn to beatbox?
I think if you've got absolutely no sense of rhythm whatsoever, I think you'll find it kind of hard. I mean, I've taught my three-year-old daughter to beatbox, and there's even a sample on the internet. You can listen to her beatboxing, and she does freestyle emceeing too, which is, you know, interesting, but she does it, you know. So I think you can teach anybody to beatbox. I can teach a granny to beatbox. You don't need any equipment. All you need is your mouth. If you've got a microphone and an amp, fantastic. You don't need it. You can beatbox on street corners. You can beatbox in the bath.
Anyone can learn to do it, but it's in the same way as, like, if you ask me, can anyone learn the piano? I'd be like, of course. Everyone's got 10 fingers. So everyone's got the anatomy they need to play it, but not everybody's going to be a constant standard pianist because, you know, you've got to have a certain amount of musicality and dedication and you've got to practice and you've got to be good. So anyone can play chopsticks on a piano, but not everyone can play Mozart's concerto. So anyone can beatbox, just there might not be the UK beatbox champion next year.
Much of the mystery of learning how to beatbox was removed when Tait published his tutorials on the internet. Does he now regret giving away the secrets to his skills?
I would say that overwhelmingly the support has been absolutely positive. Releasing the tutorials on the internet was the best thing I ever did. I did it first with text and audio, then I did the video tutorials. And they're a few years old now, those video tutorials, and we're working on a whole new set of video tutorials based on a different way of teaching it. I won't go into details, but it will be revealed. The support's been amazing, and so many people have downloaded and watched those tutorials. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, no kidding. We get 100,000 visitors a month, and the biggest hit area of the website is the audio and the tutorials. And it's great for me, because I did those tutorials, and I tell you what, I get such a buzz every single time. I get emails and private messages every week from people just saying thank you. And I'm just like, yeah, you're welcome. So I did it for free, it's for you. I just, you know, great.
Shlomo learned to beatbox without the aid of any such tutorials. So how does he feel about Tait giving the game away?
I think it was a really bad move because he's everyone's copied his idea. No, I'm joking. Mate. It was great, man. It's like literally there's a whole generation of kids out there who have just been inspired by this guy. And like to the point where it actually makes a difference to their lives. Like some of these people who've downloaded his tutorials and started to get something positive in their lives, they didn't have anything before that, and they would have been out on the street taking drugs, and that's not an exaggeration. Like, it really gives them positive focus. It's a real positive thing there.
Thanks to Tait, now anyone can learn to beatbox. But is it safe to do so? There have been no medical studies conducted on beatboxing as yet, so we can only speculate on what the physical consequences may be. Dr. Ruth Epstein is the head of speech and language therapy services at the Royal National Throat, Nose and Ear Hospital in London.
One particular consequence is obviously hyperfunction. Hyperfunction means that what you're doing is you're using an awful lot of muscle tension in order to get a result. And in their case, what they need is they produce an enormous amount of pressure in the tongue, through the lips, in the space of the mouth, and also this you can see radiating quite clearly into the, you know, mandible, the jaw, as well as the neck. And that's our concern, because if your the way you produce sound or the way that you produce all these sound effects is governed and is based on muscle tension, there comes a time where your muscles are going to say, hey, we're too tired, we're having a break, you carry on. And when you carry on, it means that you are actually pushing them beyond the limits. The other thing is obviously to be very aware of hygiene of the microphone, of course.
I did a show at a Jungle Do. I had my own mic with me, but I was handed the mic, the steaming hot mic, by one of the jungle MCs, like, Wandan, yeah! It's like, right, okay, went to go and plug mine in. No, it's been taped into the lead. Room full of people all staring at me. It's like, well, I can't really sort of go, now I'm not doing it, you know? It's like, okay, get on with the show. So, go with the mic. First inward sound I make, I get a mouthful of, what, 3, 4, 5 MC spit. I was retching. I was on the stage, like, spitting everything I could get out of my mouth. And from that point onwards, it's like, well, I'm never using somebody else's mic because you never know who's been using that and quite what's in the grill, whose dinner you're going to be tasting, you know?
So how can a beatboxer look after their voice?
In the first instance, I think one of the most simple principles is the high intake of water. That's quite important simply because there is an awful lot of valving taking place. They're producing an awful lot of pressure. It stands to reason that the vocalization organs, including the area surrounding the vocal folds, will get actually quite dry. So what we need to make sure is that we have a regular intake of water. I tell people, take a sip approximately every 10 to 15 minutes. Make sure that you keep yourself well hydrated and you keep an intake of approximately 1.5 to 2 liters, but no more than 3 liters of water per day. The other important principle is to give yourself vocal naps, to actually kind of give yourself periods of voice rest. Namely, if you are performing, just make sure that you don't go and overuse the voice through kind of having a chat to friends in a noisy environment or socializing in smoky atmospheres. An important thing would be also to observe your diet and your lifestyle, because now we have evidence of high association between stomach acid and poor diet and irritation of the back of the throat.
Beatboxing has progressed greatly in the past few years, but where will it go from here?
At the moment, the culture is really booming, where you've got a lot of kids in the playground who do it, like at school, is a kind of, you know, it's a pastime. And the great thing about it is anyone can pick it up. You don't need to buy any equipment or any stuff like that, and you can just get involved. Walking down the street, you can practice. So I think it's really going to spread. It's gone crazy in the last couple of years. Like humanbeatbox.com has got like 11,000 members or something, but give it 2 or 3 years, it's going to be more like 1 million members, and I'm not exaggerating, man. It's going to go big.
What I'd like to see is just beatbox is becoming a lot more involved. You know, the whole one-man freak show thing is very cool, and it will always be what beatboxing is about, but I think to really start pushing things, you know, it's going to be about more than one beatboxer hooking up, you know, groups of beatboxers, 2 or 3, who can really work together really tight, like a band.
Where will it go? I think it will just spread into all areas.